This is Mike Johansson of the RIT School of Communication, and today I'm talking to the Rochester Institute of Technology's premier expert on critical thinking, Dr. Jen Schneider. And Jen, thanks for agreeing to do this. Perhaps you could tell us about your title.
Well, I have a couple of titles, and I might argue that I'm, whether or not I'm the premier expert of applied critical thinking, I'm certainly the individual through the Fran Chair of Applied Critical Thinking that helped shepherd or run the process here at RIT. But I think we all bring something to the table on critical thinking, and I'll get to that in a minute. Besides my Fran Chair responsibilities, I'm also a full professor in civil engineering, technology, environmental management, and safety here at RIT. And I specialize primarily in disaster decision-making. So, if you will, I do the critical decision-making in the larger context of applied critical thinking across our, I'll call it our ability to consider information. So, with that, Mike, I guess that gives enough about me.
All right, well, let's start with sort of a pretty basic question. Why should people practice critical thinking regularly in their everyday lives, personally or at work?
I think it comes down to a very simple response that actually has a lot of nuance to it. I think essentially we do critical thinking for a couple of reasons. One reason we do it is to become an informed citizenry, to be able to understand what's going on around us in our world, to understand the context of things. And the second reason is primarily to solve problems and make decisions for ourselves, just make informed and insightful decisions.
Okay. And so in a sort of a nutshell, what would you say would be the key benefits, I mean, around critical thinking, being a more conscious thinker?
So critical thinking is really the linchpin, if you will, in our process of being able to contribute not only to our own lives and move ourselves toward our dreams and our goals, but also to being able to contribute is a positive force in society, if you will. It sounds a little motherhood and apple pie, but we have to begin with critical thinking and applying the process of critical thinking to understand what our role is and what our decisions need to be, and therefore what our actions are and how we can contribute.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that there are some good ways to get better at it?
Yes. I think first and foremost, it's about practice. So the problem with saying practice is it's one of those things that's easy to say and hard to continuously do. Unfortunately, applied critical thinking is something that can be difficult, not only to do as an individual, but to teach as a professor or even as a mentor out in the rest of the world. It simply takes effort. I like to think of it this way. Step one in the process is really about evaluating information. Is this high quality information? Is this information that comes from a trusted source? Am I literate in this information? Do I understand it? Is it robust? In other words, do I trust that information and trust my ability to use it? Secondly, can I go beyond using it effectively to be able to develop a point of view, or if you think about it in philosophy circles, they would call it development of an argument. This is not necessarily an argument between a couple of people that raise their voices, but really to develop what I think about that information, my opinion around that information that I'm seeing. From there, we move into scoping or solving problems and being aware of the complexity of that situation that we're in and all of the nuance that's there. Now, I should stop for a second and say, not every source that talks about critical thinking puts problem solving in the middle of it. There are some sources that think, that understand that thinking is one side of the house and problem solving is the other side of set of capabilities. Here at RIT, because we talk about applied critical thinking, we blend the two together. Once we get through that process of scoping and solving a problem and dealing with the com- a complex environment, we then and only then can get into design and innovation, creating new solutions to problems that we face.
And I think I've heard you also talk about the importance of communication around critical thinking.
Yes, thank you. So one of the issues with this is if you can think about critical thinking as being a strand sort of in the center of a three-stranded rope that's kind of wound on itself, thinking is in the center of that. We have to do very high quality critical thinking to really make sense of information before we can then share our opinions and sensibilities and what we've learned with others through high quality communication. And then, and only then, when we've managed to communicate it out and share it, can we begin the process of collaboration. But if we don't have high quality critical thinking at the core, then what we communicate and then what we collaborate or share beyond that, it doesn't have the same power or ability to impact what we're trying to solve or do.
And just briefly, sort of a final question. I'm sort of wondering about the relationship between individual critical thinking and this thing that you've touched on now about communicating with others and hearing from others and sharing with others, sort of this collaborative critical thinking, if you like. Perhaps the merits of both.
So if you think about what we're asked to do every day in our lives, professionally and personally, we're asked to evaluate information, use it, understand what it means, and then understand the impacts that are around it and solve a problem or move forward given that information. In many ways, we can only go so far as an individual. We need to be able to pull in sources from others beyond ourselves. We need to be able to synthesize, and many times it's been shown that we synthesize and move forward better in a group or a collective that can bring different points of view to the fore and employ them all. I'm a big fan of taking what we ruminate in our own heads and getting it out there for letting others contribute to our own thinking processes. I think it's a giant step forward in the right direction for individuals to be able to share and learn from each other. And to me, that's the biggest power of applying, intentionally said in caps, applying critical thinking is getting it out of your own head.
And getting it in others and sort of mixing and matching kind of things, so you sort of come up with the best thinking of all, perhaps.
So, last but not least, I'll bring this back to my personal expertise in disaster decision making, and you can see this a bit. We, in much of the Western world, will have an incident commander during a disaster or an emergency, and this person is charged with leading the response process forward. They've got a lot of power, but they've also got a lot of responsibility on their shoulders. And they, in some ways, have a script to follow. First, we do this, then we do that. We follow a set of steps. If you will, it's almost like following a melody in a sheet of music. The problem with disasters, though, is they have characteristics that you might not have seen before. They're a bit different. And in the process of looking at an environment or a set of characteristics that it's been a bit different than we've ever seen before, we have to be able to take that information in and come up with new solutions. So an incident commander will do much the same thing. They'll look at the situation, they call it situational awareness around them. They'll take in that information, they'll make the best consideration they can, make a decision and move things forward. The best incident commanders will listen to others in the field. We'll take in opinions, we'll take in thoughts, we'll ruminate it with their own, and they'll understand when they have to kind of stay with the scope or the script, and when they can move off script to try something new or improv. And then they'll also understand when they kind of come back to the script or the melody and the sheet of music, if you will, to get back to moving the process forward. So it's really this interplay between following what we already know and do, and adding new information in as it becomes available. And this kind of thinking is the same thing that we need to do in our daily lives as we grow and improve and encounter new situations, whether it's a disaster or whether it's just simply how do we manage the next thing in a meeting that we're having.
Sure. Well, Jen, thank you very much for your time today. I greatly appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.